Trump zombie took a shit on my face.
Since the authorities haven't been able to produce a body, do you think Michael's alive or dead?
Will he kill again?
Let me make things clear. Michael Myers is dead. D-E-A-D.
So, how are you feeling?
Nightmares are chewing at my head again. They just seem to be getting worse.
I've had 4 calls about Michael Myers today, all in the space of 10 minutes.
Evil is here.
Hey, welcome to episode number 24 of the Super Podcast. I'm your host, Super Marcy, and we've got a really cool, well, hopefully it's really cool, show for you today. And the subject of this show is we're going to discuss films that we really like or love, that the main consensus on them is that everybody else actually hates them. So with that in mind, hopefully we don't get lots of people hating us for actually liking these movies, but I've got some guests with me today and I'll introduce you to them right now. So I'm joined with Bede, who's become my unofficial co-host on the show. Say hello, Bede.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
I'm going well, and as usual, I have to ask you, because you're the terrible Australian, what makes you terrible today?
Okay, I'm a terrible Australian because I've seen Daddy Day Camp.
That is bad.
I know, it's...
You really are terrible. That is why...
I'm a terrible person.
That is why we call you terrible. Okay.
I make no excuses. Yeah. I'm just terrible.
You admit it. And, okay. We'll move right along because I don't want to think about you watching that movie. Also with us today is our old friend Pat. Say hello, Pat.
Okay. I am Pat, and I don't know how many guest sentences I'm wanted on for whatever, and I screwed up that Star Wars reference because I haven't seen the movie in a long time.
You have the death sentence on 12 systems.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Yes, and our other guest who... I'll introduce our other guest who is losing his virginity to the podcast today is Mike.
Yes,
and
hello.
I'll probably not be able to pronounce your last name.
Don't even bother.
This is just Mike. Everyone knows Mike.
Cherry Pop and Mikey.
All right.
Ready, Mark. Pop you. Ouch.
This show just got so dirty.
In record time.
Yeah, man. I didn't have to do this when I did. Wait a minute.
I think Pat has had too much to drink.
No,
he must be ready for the show then.
Yeah, really.
All right. Well,
no, that's the oh my. But they won't let me back on. I don't know.
You're on probation. Behave. Alrighty. We'll get our topic. We'll get our topic going, I guess, which is movies that we like, but everybody else really doesn't like them. And for his first pick, I'll go with Bede, because I know he's just dying to talk, aren't you?
Of course.
All right. So, what movie do you like, but everybody else hates?
My first pick would
definitely be Golden Bat.
What?
The Golden Bat.
Not the Golden Bat. No, I that can't be picked because that nobody is on the planet has actually seen that movie other than me and Marcy.
I don't even think the people that made that movie have seen it.
Oh, trust me, dude. After this podcast, you'll be wanting to see this movie.
Kind of do already, yeah.
Here we go again.
But enough about the Golden Bat, because that's what I'm not going to talk about. The movie I want is my first pick is Alien 3.
Alien 3 by David Fincher, or however you fucking pronounce his name.
David Fincher. Pre-7.
Pre-7.
That was his first movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was his film
first director. Yeah, first real movie.
He was too busy directing, like, Janie's Got a Gun.
Yeah, Mars.
I'm glad Paul someone Apple, decided yes. to sing that. Alrighty, so...
Why do you like it?
Yeah.
Why do I like it? I just... Yeah. you know, it's weird. Ever since I was younger, when I've seen this film, like, I know, like, the first Alien movie and Aliens are the great, are absolutely amazing movies. Like, there's no doubt about them. They are way better than this film. But for some reason, I always thought this one has always been my personal favorite of the series. And I'm not sure why. I think it's because it's a lot more darker than the other two. And it's much more tragic and just bleak. And I guess that could be the reason. But I found it also, I think Sigourney Weaver herself actually gives her best performance in the series in this one. So there's a lot of reasons why I like the film, but those are probably the one of the main ones that I really like. And I guess it just depresses the hell out of me. I suppose that's one of the reasons
why I like it. You like being depressed, don't you?
Oh, I'm a general... Well, after watching so many bad movies, it does make me depressed.
All right, do you guys like or hate this movie?
I think it's tough to hate that movie, too. I don't say I love it as much as the others, but totally ballsy flick, especially, you know, with you got a bald Sigourney. Who the hell would have thought of that?
Pretty and, sexy.
You got vintage popping his cherry in the film industry.
And she got paid a lot of money to shave her head.
True. I think it's a really ballsy thing. No, that's a brave friggin' ending, too, for that flick, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So props on that. I say props.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't mind the movie at all. If I was to put them in order, I would say I'd put it in the third position because I really, really hate part four.
Definitely better than Resurrection.
Yeah, I hate part four with a passion.
Even though Joss Whedon wrote that.
Every time I think of that, I want to punch Josh Whedon's fat head.
But Alien 3, I don't mind it.
No, I don't mind it either. I mean, it was just the whole, if you get a chance, buy the Alien quadrilogy or whatever it is that they're coming over on Blu-ray in the coming months. I hope I grab that whenever. But anyways, no, I mean, it's like you watch the behind-the-scenes stuff and the making of, and it's like it's really interesting. I mean, like they had like guys from like Eric Red to Rennie Harlan taking stabs at doing it, and it was really interesting. I mean, it was a train wreck in some respects, but I mean, it was interesting. I guess you can say it's like a car crash. She was like, it's so horrible, but I can't look away.
I got the Alien Quadrilogy set when it first came out, and I have to agree with Pat said. Like, just watching the documentaries, like the behind-the-scenes stuff that happened on that movie, it was a train wreck. I mean, this even like David Fincher himself has kind of disowned this movie now. And I think it's a shame because there's a lot of good elements in there, but I can see why, because like they went in with the movie with an unfinished script.
Yeah.
And they pretty much had to shoot off the fly and improvise a lot of things and write the script as they were filming. But I still think overall it still ended up being pretty good. But I definitely say probably the definitive version of this film is definitely the assembly cut, which is on the quadrilogy set. And that is even better than the version that did get released, because it's about 30-40 minutes longer, and it has like a subplot that was cut out from the movie. And
it's significantly longer.
Yeah, and it's got more character development.
Yeah.
It's just a great cut, and I guess if David Fincher decided to come back and do a director's cut, this would probably be the closest thing that would be to his vision, I imagine anyway, because he wasn't involved with putting this one together.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, the only problem is, and I will say this, and I'm sure it's on Wikipedia and it's on Digital Bits when they first reviewed the quadrilogy set. David Fincher, his footage was cut out of the documentary because he badmouthed Fox, and rightly so, because they basically handcuffed him. And you can tell when they cut the footage out because they just did a quick fade to black with a lot of this stuff.
Nice.
But then he said, like, Fox are morons and everything like that. But, you know, I mean, it's just, it was really not not a nice way to break into the Hollywood filmmaking business, put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll pass it over to Pat for one of his picks now.
Okay. Now, I know everyone's going to be like, what the hell are you smoking or whatever, but I know that I'm not the only one that's like this film. I know that The Arrow, Mike, you and I know that The Arrow likes this film. For some reason, it's Ghost Rider.
Boo!
Directed by Mark Steven Johnson, who I did like Daredevil. I did like the director Scott. But I know the movie's dumb, and I know that Nicolas Cage is like
dumb,
so panning it out. But I mean,
hey, man, you know,
I hate Ghost Rider.
Come on.
Yeah, but I don't mind my dumb action movies. Like, I like them enough as the next person, but this one was just even more dumb.
This one just, I don't know. I just really didn't like this movie, even though it had the great Sam Elliott in it. He was the only decent thing in it, actually. Yeah, she's pretty hot. I mean, I got to say, Eva and Nicolas Cage do a much better film with Bad Lieutenant. Insane as that film is, but my god, this movie was just so bad. And Wes Bentley, as whatever his name was in the movie, was so shit.
There's no beauty for him in this flick.
Oh man, he should have just stuck to filming paper floating bags,
plastic bags. Yeah. Wish someone stuck a plastic bag's head on this one until the plastic bag started moving in and out by smell.
Yeah, that would have been really good.
Peter Fonda as like the devil, like. Come on, I mean, it's like, I know that the script is terrible, come on, but I mean,
I'll give credit where credit is due. I think Peter Fonda was pretty good, made a good devil in that movie, I'll admit that.
He was terrible.
He was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrible.
I mean, I wouldn't say I hated it as much as, like, Marcy and Mike does, but I think it's pretty... Like, it's an incredibly dumb movie, and it's like a 2.5 for me, but I did enjoy some aspects because it was, like, so over the top. Like, whenever Nicolas Cage becomes a ghost
writer... Does anything?
Yeah, he does. He goes into Wicker Man hysterics, and it's hilarious.
Yes, like, I love that.
The bees.
That would probably hurt. And he's like laughing and crying. That part was great.
With the part where his head's like ready to burst into flame. Yeah, it was kind of.
Yes.
It was just like, at the point, he's like, okay, Nick, we get it.
Go crazy.
But I mean,
I'm go crazy right now.
That was a dead on impression.
That was fucking perfect.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
There's another thing I have to say. Did anyone else find it weird in the scene where Nicolas Cage takes his shirt off and he's all muscular, bulky? That was, like, really disturbing because, like, his head didn't match his body.
That's true.
It felt like an actual
real-life
Photoshop.
Yeah, okay.
It's like they CGI'd his head on somebody else's body.
Yeah.
So that's why it took so long.
Although, like, I think for the most part, I think the effects were actually a lot better than they probably should have been.
Well, I mean, doing the fire effect is, like, so friggin' hard to do in 3D and do it, like, convincingly, and they were able to do that. But everything else, I mean, I'm trying to justify the whole thing of, me liking it, but I mean, it was just...
You're allowed to like it.
That's the whole point of this podcast. You don't have to justify it.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's true. But I mean, like, Ghost Rider and The Punisher were always sort of my sort of, guilty pleasures in terms of comic book heroes. And, The Punisher more so than Ghost Rider. But I mean, that Ghost Rider is just like, you have a guy and he's the spirit of vengeance and his head's on fire and he rides a flaming motorcycle. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's such a cool thing, but then the movie came out, and I died a little inside.
It's all right, they're rebooting it now, so it'll be better.
I hope so. Just don't put Nicolas Cage,
please. Mike DeLuca is producing it, and apparently it's going to be PG-13. Well, that's what David Goyer, who's writing the script, said. Really? But he also said it's the MTV, so who knows where that's going.
Yeah, fuck knows what's going to happen. All right. I'll send it over to Mike for one of his picks.
What to pick first? It's crazy. I'll go with the one that Marcy, you and I guess, have been talking about the most up to this podcast. Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Which I watched.
What the big issue is. I enjoy it.
I have to agree, Mike. I actually kind of dug it as well.
I watched it this morning, and what the fuck?
It is. It's a definitely what the fuck movie.
It is a what the fuck, but in terms of a Halloween sequel, is it really worse than Part 5 and
Resurrection?
You could say Part 4. Oh, Resurrection. Let's not even count that, but yeah.
Oh, they, what was the one that had, what's his name, Paul Rudd in it?
Number six.
Yeah, what the fuck was that shit? Yeah,
there's like many versions of that movie, so.
Yeah.
That one was.
I'd rather have the producer's cut of Part 7, really.
That's Part 6.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
six.
I'm sorry, Part 6, yeah.
I agree with Pat.
I'd rather have, but anything after Part 4 was just. Blech.
Yeah, no, I did. I really dug H2O.
I love H2O.
In terms of a sequel, of getting things right, you know, the mood, the spirit, the actress, I thought it was great stuff.
Yeah.
But back to
number two.
Because we're going a bit,
That's the pun intended by saying number two?
number two, because he took a huge shit in my mouth.
Explain the reason for Marcy's hot lunch. I'd like to say that in terms of sequels, I think it does justice. It also people are pissed off about the whole Hobo Myers look.
That didn't bother me.
I can see, granted.
That actually didn't bother me at all.
It didn't bother me at all. I mean, it felt real.
I thought it made sense.
You're a psycho killer. You're living under, in hiding for a year. You're not going to want to shave. You're psycho. You're not going to want to get clean. You keep the mess, which gets even more rotted. It just, if in terms of a slasher sequel, it had a very, very real, albeit white trash, feeling to it. And, it just felt real. It felt like a logical way to expand on Myers. If you don't want him to be this unkillable, shot a million times, burned a million times, Jason Voorhees being. It felt real and it felt cool. And I think it did justice. I love what they did with Loomis. Even though the original Loomis is great, this is an homage. This is something different. They tried something different. I thought it was a logical progression and did me well.
Yeah, I wanted to, fucking just stab him in the head in this movie.
He was quite the dick.
He was an ass. Everyone but, Annie and the sheriff or whatever he was. Everyone else was so fucking retarded, I wanted to just shoot them in the head.
Well, white trashville.
Put Laurie out of her misery. Jesus Christ, woman.
I love the Brecky and Annie thing. I'm glad Annie got expanded because that clearly didn't happen in the original Halloween 2. Same thing with Brackett.
Yeah.
They were cool characters, and I thought they really brought a lot to this version of a Myers sequel.
Yeah, that was the only thing I liked with them. I
expanded on it too.
I watched the director's cut, and it started off, and I was like, yeah, this is all right. But then as it just went on, I'm like, Laurie, fucking just, God, let me cut your head off. Shut up.
Did you do a shot every time she said fuck?
Oh, gosh. I could have,
right now.
I could have, killed myself with how much drinking games you can make up with this movie.
Yeah.
You can count how many times Michael stabs someone, and it's like, for every time you stab someone, you take a drink.
Jeez, he went crazy on that nurse in the hospital.
I want to make a point on the stabbing. Again, I like that, too. I mean, if you want realism, you're not going to have him being killed with, a fucking tire iron made into a knife, like a certain shitty movie that just got released. He's gonna stab. That's what he does. He's gonna stab hard because he's crazy and super strong.
The movie had a lot of. It was brutal. It was very very brutal. Really? It was very gross.
Brutal.
Yeah, I mean Rob Zombie does that stuff well, but I don't know. And the whole fucking visions and white horses and shit. I just didn't need that crap.
Of course, I understand. I know it's a medical term, but I guess if people are crazy, that's some of the out there shit that happens. And clearly, Myers is crazy.
He's crazy.
His sister Laurie has got that blood in her.
She's a crazy too, as the ending kind of shows.
I never got a chance to see the theatrical version. I reviewed the director's cut, and while I could see what Rob was going for, I just didn't. A lot of it was just you alienate, you know, the likable characters like Loomis. You turn him into a giant dick. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on some levels, you know, yeah, okay, that's interesting, but it seems like you alienate the fans of the original, which there are, despite what some people might think, and then having Michael just basically was an excuse for them to chew up time, you know, for him just to basically do the stabby for, mm-hmm. you know, eat up 10 minutes. And really, you know, the film could have just gotten more than just, you know, it really needed to get the scissors put to it. It was really too long for, you know, for people to sit there and watch this film. I mean, it's like brutal, but I mean, it's like, it's to the point where you get numb to it, and it's just, you know, oh man, when's this thing going to be over? You know, that it gets to that point, and it really didn't do the film justice.
Maybe you should see the theatrical cut.
No, I think I would be drunk by then.
Would be. I read your review of Halloween 2. It was very good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Well, this will segue into my pick, one of my picks, which is actually going back to the first one, Halloween.
I
really, really liked the remake.
With you, Mars.
And that's kind of like why I was a bit disappointed with the direction he went in with the second part. But just going back to the first part, I mean, I liked the whole beginning with him as a kid and all that stuff. And then when it kind of went more into the remake territory, I mean, while he was still, you know, having to do that stuff, I thought he did his own thing and I liked it.
Very good homage.
And I liked, you know, that had a lot of brutality in it, and I kind of liked that. And I liked his version of Michael in the movie.
Yeah.
And I liked his version of Loomis, and I liked Malcolm McDowell as Loomis. And, you know, I just really thought it was a really good movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. I loved it when I first saw it in the theater. Loved it.
Awesome. At least I'm not alone, because everyone I talked about this movie is like, Marcy, it sucks. It's so shit. I'm like, no, it's not. Shut up. You suck.
That's right. You know what? Tell them they fucking suck. Tell them Mike said so.
But I mean, like, it's on the same level. I mean, like, after seeing House of a Thousand Corpses for the first time in a long time, I can see the parallels between, you know, Rob Zombie's first film and then this film. I mean, it's like he, like basically, Serena Whitney, who former Arrowhead head correspondent, she put it best. It's like it's the biggest circumstance for Rob Zombie. I mean, it's like, oh, I like this horror movie from like the 70s exploitation. I'm gonna throw that in. It's like, oh, I like this partner. I'm gonna throw that in. It's just a big wank fest for him, and. You say that about the House of a Thousand Corpses, and to a certain extent, Halloween as well. Although he picks up some more of the brutality of it all, rather than just throwing in like obscure, you know, films.
True. I see what you mean, Pat.
Yeah, I like Rob Zombie. I like him a lot, and I really loved House of a Thousand Corpses, and I really loved Devil's Rejects. And I really liked Halloween. So, yeah. I mean, as I said, you know, Halloween 2 did disappoint me, but I'm not going to, like, write Rob Zombie off at all. I mean, I want to see what he does next. And it's actually, like, I watched Halloween because I bought it on DVD not long ago. I watched it with his audio commentary, which is actually really interesting. And I kind of, like, appreciated the movie even more after listening to him talk about it.
Oh, yes, that's one of the things that I like about Rob Zombie. He just talks at length with everything. He has an opinion, he shares it. And really, you're right, Marcy, it does make you appreciate the film even more, although in some respects, It all depends on whether you're a fan of Rob Zombie in the first place. I mean, like, I was on the fence with, yeah, House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Rejects and Halloween and Halloween 2. I'm not a fan, but I'm not a hater either, put it that way.
You're an in-betweener.
I mean, I'm on the fence for all of his films, basically.
You're an in-betweener.
Yes, I'm a tweener.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen all three versions of the movie? Like the work print? Yeah, like the work print.
I
haven't seen the work print.
I've seen, like, because I've seen all three, and I have to say the theatrical cut is probably the weakest one, but I definitely think both the director's cut and the work print are actually the more superior versions.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
They're actually, what's interesting is that the work print is actually, I think, the shortest one of the three. I think.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so anyway. But there are little things in the work print I would have loved to have seen put back into like the director's cut or something. Like there's this great scene. You know the scene where Michael Myers goes to Laurie's parents' house?
Yep.
And it's like this jump scare. But there's this great moment that was in the work print. I wish they put it in because it was so much better than the what they did with that scene. Was that like the dad's like out the front and he's having his cigarette and he sees Michael Myers across the road and he just starts walking towards him. Michael Myers towards the dad and the dad like says, oh, we're all out of candy, son. And Michael just goes up to him and just goes whack with the knife. And I actually thought that was much more intense than the, just him just coming out of nowhere. Yeah. And
definitely. Cause he did. Yeah. And he's like, wow, he wasn't in front of you. And now he's right there.
Yeah.
So I could see how they cut it. That does sound cooler.
Yeah, the fact that he just like just walks over to him just slowly, and it just made him worry. Yeah, and another one which was also good in this another scene where I think it's Lauren leaves I guess at the house where Annie is babysitting. She runs down the street and has that sort of shaky cam kind of shot of her going down the street. In the version in the work print, you can actually see Michael behind her the entire time. And that actually made that bit even more intense. So those little things I would have liked to have seen in the original, like put back in the movie, like in the director's cut. But yeah, it's kind of disappointed that they weren't in there, and they weren't even in the deleted scenes either, which made it even more interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I really liked Rob Zombie's Halloween as well, despite what everyone else thinks. Yeah,
we're on the love train.
And people are hating it.
It's kind of interesting. It seems that Rob Zombie's films, almost all of them, always get leaked. Cause I remember, well, I shouldn't say leaked, but I mean, like, there was for his House of a Thousand Corpses, there was the Cannes cut, which has never been released. Then, of course, the director's cut for Devil's Rejects, and then there's this work print for Halloween, and yeah. It's funny that way.
But the movie ended up still being successful despite that leak, because I think people realized since this was just a work print and like the actual movie was going to be completely different from this work print, people still went to the cinemas to see what it looked like anyway.
Yeah.
Other than say like say Hostel, which its work print got leaked online, but that was pretty much like the entire movie, like the actual finished movie.
That was Hostel 2.
Yeah. Yeah, Hostel Part 2, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
The sands without the special effects. Mm. It's like, and that, yeah, and look what happened to that movie. It didn't do as well at the box office.
No.
Poor releasing.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move along back to Bede for another one of his picks. So tell us.
Okay, my pick.
Shocker.
My next pick is a movie that came out last year and... like, everyone probably will not like this movie anyway, but I was dying to see this movie, and I absolutely love this movie, and that is 2012.
Yuck. I haven't seen it, and I don't want to see it.
Oh, Uncle Niren.
I am now the Pat.
This way.
No,
man.
Has anyone else seen it besides me?
No.
Basically, I can sum it up in one sentence. John Cusack driving over everything and staying alive. That's all I'm going to say.
But that was awesome.
That was stupid. I mean,
it was also because it was stupid. The thing is, the reason why I love this movie is, like, it was so fucking ridiculous. Like, it was, like, I think I tweeted this once. It's, like, 2012 is, like, preposterous, ridiculous, sentimental, cheesy, over-the-top, loud. Like, fuck me, Deb, was it fun? Like, it is a stupid movie in every single way. But at the same time, it's the most insane disaster movie ever made.
I don't like disaster movies, and this looked like it was going to piss me off. So I thought, you know what? I'm not going to watch this crap.
I just realized I'm a big disaster movie fan, and I love disaster movies. So this movie was right up in my alley. And the thing was, like, the thing while I was watching this movie, I realized that Roland Emmerich, he was like, he probably when he just started making this movie, because, like, again, he's kind of done, like, the disaster movie film before.
Well, with, like, he's, you know, like, totally going to destroy the world.
Right. Yeah, like, the thing is, like, oh, well, yeah, well. But it's like, you know, it's like he sat there and thinking, you know what, I've already done enough disaster. I'm going to do one more disaster movie, and I'm going to make it the biggest disaster movie of all time. And it's going to be, like, over the top and every. It's like, if you compare this film to, like, say, his another one of his, The Day After Tomorrow, that is a disaster movie that's played straight. Like, it's kind of more dramatic, I would say. But this one is the complete opposite. This one is just so over the top. And, like, it's very long, but it has some of the most dazzling over-the-top sequences I have ever seen. Like, there's this one bit where there's, like, this massive earthquake just, like, destroys L.A. And, like, it's just ridiculous. Like, they're driving around trying to escape, making sure they don't get crushed by buildings. Then, like, they get onto this plane, and they're, like, going through this, like, canyon that's split up in the open, and all of a sudden they just fly through, and all of a sudden this train just comes out of nowhere, like, flying through the air and almost hits the plane.
Yes, that, you're not convincing me.
Yeah, it's like that scene alone pretty much sums up exactly why I love this movie. And, like, it's, and another thing I love about Roland Emmerich's movies, like, especially disaster movie ones, he knows how to exploit his characters. For example, like, he'll make you at least care about him enough, like, even if you know him for, like, 5 minutes. Then all of a sudden he kills them in very horrible ways.
I think I can put it best when he's been hanging around Michael Bay too much.
I don't think he's made an actual really good film since, like, Stargate.
And you mean that ID4?
I think ID4 is okay, but it's not as brilliant as Stargate.
I believe that.
Maybe I'm biased towards Stargate, but I just don't think anything he's done after that has been very good at all.
Not even The Patriot.
I like The Patriot.
I do like The Patriot.
He did that's that like movie? That's like his only serious
movie, like his only real non-blockbuster movie, really. Well, it was a blockbuster, but it was like more a drama than, say, an action. Yeah.
Period drama.
Yeah.
He really did that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was almost 3 hours, so he must have, right?
And it was great because he didn't write it.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll give that movie to him because I didn't realize that was one of his movies.
Yeah. I guess, like, I really like this movie because, like, he did 10,000 BC. Like, I always look forward to any Roland Emmerich movie of his, but when I saw the trailer for 10,000 BC, I just thought, this looks pretty shit. And I saw it, and it was pretty shit. And the reason was that it was boring. Like, there's nothing interesting that goes on. But with 2012, everything is happening, and I just enjoy, like, it has all the cliches, like, all the disaster movie cliches, and there's bad performances, bad dialogue, and just so over-the-topness everywhere. But that's what but it actually works in favor for this movie.
I heard it, like, was boring as shit.
Oh, well,
indeed, if you wanted, like, over-the-top and, like, you gotta be fucking kidding me sort of moment, I would watch The Transporter. I mean, that has bad acting on it. That has, like, you gotta be kidding me.
True.
But that's actually enjoyable.
Even that's more entertaining than this.
At least it's only 90 minutes, too.
Well, yeah, but like, it's like I said, it's got these, like, it has, like, you know, it tries to be serious at some points, and, but I just really dug this movie. Like, now I have to explain why I like this movie.
No, you don't have to.
I feel like Pat right now.
It made over $100 million, so, you know, a lot of people agree with you.
Yeah, it's a movie that's like it's the definition of a it's so dumb it's fun, but it's
you can leave it at that, I think.
I believe.
Yeah, like it's definitely not like some people. It's a movie you'll either want if you watch it and you'll probably think, oh, this is just complete bullshit. But when you act, if you go with it, it's a lot of fun. Well, I thought so anyway. So I make no I make no apologies for
this. This is why you are the terrible one.
Actually, I know this is probably going to be, like, very bad. I actually gave this movie 4 stars.
You are a sad, sad man.
Yes, yes. Terribly. But that's on a different kind of rating scale, because I do something similar like Roger Ebert does. Like, per genre, like, you know. I'm not saying it's better than, say, like, other great movies. But
in terms of shitty disaster movies that are cliched.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like it's like a parody. It's almost like a self aware parody in a way. That's played somewhat straight.
Rightio. Okay. Now that that one's out of the way, we'll go back to Pat for one of his picks.
I kind of already mentioned it and kind of spoiled it, but it's the remake. Well, one of the remakes of The Punisher.
Yes.
2004, starring Thomas Jane.
Yes.
And,
love The Punisher.
And, I mean, you know, when I saw this film, I was like, this is, you know, I mean, it's not the same as Dolph Lundgren's 1989 film, obviously, because it didn't have the skull and everything like that. And it was kind of, he was hanging out in the sewers naked, drinking whatever.
Probably pissed.
Yeah, well, I mean, this they try, he, I mean, it was sort of like a, it's not quite the Garth Ennis envisioning that I had. I mean, that's say that for Warzone, really, which was, okay. Which I also liked. but no, I mean, it was a fun movie. It could have used a lot more in terms of shooting and blood and everything like that. But I mean, overall, I mean, Thomas Jane really, you know, he really believed in this film and it shows on screen. And
yeah,
Jane is cool.
He's a man.
Oh yeah. And of course you get John Travolta doing
John Travolta.
Hamming it up, baby.
Yeah. Doing, mm-hmm.
And it had Ben Foster, who just rules in everything. and then he shares my birthday. That's even better.
Wow.
Just thought I'd add that in.
Dang.
And then, of course, you have the memorable scene with Kevin Nash as the Russian Thomas Jane beating the crap out of each other. And that's I can't remember, was it Thomas Jane accidentally stabbing Kevin Nash with the fake knife? Or was it the other way around? I can't remember who.
Oh, I can't remember. I have to watch it again.
Yeah, I don't know who it was, but then of course, if it was Kevin Nash who was actually accidentally stabbed by Thomas Jane gets accidentally stitched by Rebecca Romijn, because apparently she actually started to stitch. She poked through the appliance that they had on Thomas Jane's shoulder from the stab wound, and yeah, he didn't complain, which is just shows just how much of a badass he is.
Thomas Jane, yeah. Baby, he's a mad.
He's a man.
Yeah, baby.
I'm probably gonna be the lone voice here, but I didn't like The Punisher.
You suck.
What?
Terrible.
I just felt it wasn't hardcore enough for me. When I think The Punisher, I think hardcore. It just wasn't.
I liked it.
I just thought it was kind of cheesy in some ways. Like I said, I like my dumb action movies, but this one was just too cheesy. Like, it starts off really good.
Says
like
the man who likes 2012.
Oh, well, that's different.
Says the man who likes the golden bat.
Yeah, but that's awesome. But I just felt it wasn't as hardcore enough. Like, Thomas Jane was great in the movie. I'll give you guys that. Like, he really suited the character, but I don't know. I just feel like it could have been better. Like, it could have been much more hardcore in both the violence and maybe did a lot more with the story, because I honestly thought that John Travolta was actually a pretty weak villain. Like, I could have easily, if I was the pun, I would have just easily just gone up to him and just bitch slap him, and that would have been end of it. That's. And also, I have to say this, as an observation, why was Kevin Nash wearing a Popeye shirt in the fight scene?
Because he has mean fashion sense, man.
Because he was a Russian. And
good answers.
And he was bad at, well, I mean, have you ever seen the guy? He's like, well, I mean, he's not now, but I mean, he's like, he's tall. He was Super Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, man. Come on.
Oh, was he really?
He was really.
Yeah, like, he rocked it as just Super Shredder. I don't know. I just was. Actually, it's funny. I haven't really liked any of the Punisher movies so far.
I didn't see the Warzone.
Like, Warzone, yeah. Like, they did amp up the action in that one, and that I respect it for, but it just was kind of too silly. Like, at times, like, the villains in that one were, like, on the verge of Batman and Robin badness.
Well, I didn't want to see it because, like, I just like to see a really serious,
really dark, really gritty, and really violent Punisher movie. And
just, it'll never happen.
not unless, like, Pat was saying, maybe if Garth Ennis wrote the script to a Punisher movie, then maybe, because he knows the character better than anyone, so maybe if he wrote the script.
He basically rebooted the comic version and made him, you know, made that black humor and just, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Warzone was probably as close to that as you could probably get.
Yeah, I just like a really dark one. Like, I'm just trying to figure what kind of comic book I would like, a serious, I guess probably something in the same vein as The Dark Knight, probably, or not, like, just in terms of the tone. That's what I'm sort of looking for. Just with a lot more violence.
I just like Thomas Jane, and if he wanted to take his clothes off, I wouldn't complain.
Oh, Marcy.
But that actually has nothing to do with The Punisher. I'm just a perv.
Appreciate your honesty.
Hey, I could have done with a Rebecca Romijn full nude scene with Thomas Jane.
Yeah, you're
hey. They could have done that. That would have made the movie a bit better.
I would have shot
it. That reminds me, when does X-Men come out on Blu-ray? I need to work on my pause feature.
Hasn't that been out for a while? Because I know we got all the X-Men movies out on Blu-ray here in Australia.
Of course, you know, you like blue chicks.
That's an in-joke, right? You'll have to listen to the last episode.
Like Avatar related.
Yeah,
for the record, I have not seen Avatar. I'm sorry. I have not jumped on the bandwagon.
Well, have you seen Fern Gully? You're set.
The less said about that, the better. As a sort of a side story, I was scared to death of Fern Gully for one reason and one reason only, and that was Tim Curry, who did the creepiest villain. I was 5 at the time. Tim Curry just scared the crap out of me as wherever the black thing that he was. And then, of course, I find out that he's later on, he's done, like, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I'm like,
that scared you even more.
Pennywise.
I feel like...
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, since we're getting off track, I'll send it to Mike for his next pick.
Okay, I'd be shocked if you guys like this one, because I do know it's terrible, but I do like it, so hence comes to Marcy's podcast, a Black Christmas remake.
I didn't like it.
I didn't see it. Woohoo!
I didn't see it for a good reason. Yep.
It's a remake to probably the best horror movie ever made.
Yeah. Which I still need to watch.
Which is outstanding. If you have that, Brian, because it is outstanding. It's Oscar-worthy horror, the original Black Christmas from Bob Clark.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my queue of movies that I'm going to watch eventually. So
it's chilling. But, and I don't think there's really a drop of blood in it, actually, which is ridiculous.
But there is in this one. There's a lot in this one.
Shouldn't you like this movie, Deed? It's got Mary Elizabeth in it.
Oh, well, that's...
I thought you were talking about the remake.
The remake? Well, that's the one reason why, the one thing I did like about this movie.
What about all the other hot chicks? I mean, it's loaded.
Oh, yeah, well, they're all hot. Yeah.
Okay.
It's good eye candy. But it's good eye candy.
In more ways than one, too. I don't know if you're big Christmas fans, but I kind of like Christmas, and for some reason I love horror, and the combo, too, it brings a warm, festive holiday feeling out of me, and I don't know why. Granted, this could be that I did get to see Black Christmas as like a, you know, one of those test audience things, and that was really fun. I think I was the only one that liked it then too, but I just thought, you know.
Was it different from the one that ended up being the screen? Because I know they did tons of reshoots for that movie.
Yep, different ending. I think we got a better ending with the, I think they really did kill it ending-wise with studio shit or something, because everything is ridiculous. I mean, I actually, this Christmas, I asked the Arrow if I could do a Black Christmas article, like why the remake is good, and he was kind enough to let me, and it really opened up my eyes as to what sucks or why it sucks and what's actually pretty enjoyable about it. And again, you got to definitely have to check your brain at the door. Bring your love for the holidays. Bring your love tons and tons and tons of ridiculous, intentionally over-the-top gore and hot chicks. And don't worry too much about telling a well-written out story. This one's all about the eye candy.
Hot chicks.
Yeah.
That's for damn
sure. This movie puts Sparty Road to shame, for sure. The remake.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer to see Black Christmas remake than Sorority Row remake.
You are correct.
Thank you.
I actually found Sorority Row a little bit better than this one, but I didn't like that movie.
It's got Rumor Willis, and I can't stand her.
The chicks in the Black Christmas are definitely hotter than the ones in the in Sorority Row.
I don't want to see Miss Potato Head, sorry.
Rumor Willis.
Oh, God. Put her in the same sentence as hot chicks.
Exactly.
I didn't say that. I said the hot chicks in the Black Christmas remake were definitely hotter than the ones in...
Definitely. Just a motive for the killer in the Sorority Row remake. The writer of this film, or whoever decided that should be the reason, should never be allowed to write again, and should probably, you know, thank his lucky stars that this somehow got made, because it's beyond ridiculous. And
that was...
I was enjoying the flick up until then, kind of. But I can never recommend it. I can never say anything good about it now. It just totally took a shit on my head after giving me oral for about an hour and 15. And that's just a bad way to end things in my book.
That was
the Prom Night remake.
Oh, that was just bad. That was just terrible.
That doesn't count.
That has a lampshade scam.
Oh, man.
All right. So since we're going off topic again...
Black Christmas remake. I'm telling you. 6 months. Pop it in.
All right. I'm so going to watch the remake at Christmas. Yeah. Just for you.
Thanks, Mars.
But
we'll talk.
Before that, I'll watch the original, because I have no idea why I haven't seen it yet.
Opposite worlds, but still both super enjoyable.
All right. I'll go with one of my picks now. I decided to go with a recent movie, which was The Lovely Bones, because everyone seems to, like, absolutely hate it, but I really dug it. And,
Arrow dug it too, the movie.
Yeah, that really actually, his review kind of convinced me to see it. Well, convinced me more that I should see it.
Why'd you love it?
I don't know, I just thought it was a good film. Sorry, say that again.
I haven't seen it, but for, you know, for very good reasons to, you know, I'm kind of busy
these days,
but whatever.
All right. I guess I'll explain myself. I just thought it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I liked what Peter Jackson did. I hadn't read the book or anything. I just thought, like, it was visually, it was great, and I thought the performances were all pretty good. There was, like, a few weak things with the story and just the way it wrapped itself up I didn't like, but... Frickin' hell, Stanley Tucci has got to be, like, the most creepiest fucking dude. Man.
That's why I want to see it.
Oh, my gosh. I wanted to, like, take 1,000 showers after watching him in this movie because I felt so dirty.
Wow. Talk some more about these showers, Mars.
Hot, soapy showers.
Just kidding.
And I know that somebody else here agrees with me about this movie.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. Like, I can see why a lot of people had a lot of problems with this movie.
It's not really mainstream, is it?
Yeah, it's not really. I wouldn't say it's just because it's not really mainstream. Like, structurally and story-wise, it's a great idea for a story. And, like, some parts definitely don't work as others, but I did really like this film. I actually was really deeply affected by this film after I watched it. And it was really interesting to watch this movie and then read all the negative reaction after watching it. Yeah. And I'm thinking, did I just watch the same movie as all these people?
Like, I mean, I know a lot of people sort of had issues with the whole afterlife thing, but it's like, it's a movie. It's not telling you to believe in anything. Get the fuck over it. How many other movies are out there with this crap in there? Fucking just get over that shit.
Yeah. I think
Did any of you guys read the book?
No. I've never read the book, so I'm pretty sure the book is a lot better than the movie, but just basing it on the film alone, I really, really liked it. And but I think what would have made this movie better for me if it was actually a little bit longer, because, like, say, maybe 20, 25 minutes, just mostly because I felt I would like to have seen more of the family life after the film's major tragedy, I suppose. We'd like to have seen more of that and a bit more, a bit more breathing room when it came to that, because at times it did feel a little rushed.
And you read the book?
Yeah, that's... And read there's the one... Yeah.
I will read it now.
I will now, Mike.
My thing, I'll tell you that.
And there was sorry.
Let the man talk!
Sorry, I'm done.
No, Mike, say what you got to say.
As I was saying...
Or B, talk. Someone talk.
I'll go and then Mike can go. I was saying, like, there's one sequence in the movie which I felt... I can see why... This one was, I think, a lot of people had really a lot of problems with, and it's a scene that's, I guess, very out of tone with the rest of the movie. It's only because, like, it's a very, like, after the tragedy that happens, it goes, like, this really happy kind of sequence. Marcy knows what I'm talking about, and in heaven, and it's sort of... That scene was a bit overdone in terms of CGI and what, like, visuals it was shown, but it didn't really ruin the movie for me too much.
No, not at all.
And I did like the aspects of how heaven was portrayed, because it just made it very unique and very interesting to look at.
Yeah, I also liked, like, one of the reveals, which I'm not going to say what it is, but just with one of the girls who's with her in the heaven, whatever, you know, limbo, whatever she's in.
Yeah, I should say it is more limbo than heaven.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like limbo, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, one other thing, like, everyone was saying just how bad Mark Wahlberg is. He's not fucking bad in it. Just because he was bad in some other movies doesn't mean he's always bad. He was fine in the movie.
Yeah, I felt a lot for his character. Like, he has this breakdown scene, and I actually felt a lot for it, that scene.
Yeah. Like, he is actually, like, good in it.
Yeah.
I mean, just because he might have sucked ass in The Happening.
Oh. No, I'm Mark. I'm a science teacher.
Sure, I'm not even done.
Oh, God. I'll never see that.
Yeah, I don't think I'll see that either.
Somebody just asked me that today, actually. That was my answer, never.
Yeah, so, all right. Now we were all sort of undecided if we had more than two choices to talk about. So if anyone else has another pick they want to talk about, you can mention it now.
I've got one.
Of course you do. All right.
It took me a while to figure out my third one. There was one movie I thought I could talk about, but I already talked about it on a podcast, and Pat and Marcy already know about that. But I think for a movie, I think I might go with this pick, because it's a movie that I actually really enjoyed it a lot. And it gets shit on by a lot of people for no good reason. And that movie is G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
I like G.I. Joe.
Well, you know my answer.
Yeah.
I call myself a DVD reviewer.
I like the name Joe a lot.
I just really enjoy it. I think it's because due to low expectations. Because, like, when I kept seeing the trailer, I didn't think of much before it. And also the movies that came out before, like X-Men Origins, Wolverine, Transformers 2, Terminator Salvation. I didn't think those movies were as bad as people made them out to be, but they were somewhat disappointments in their own way. But when I watched G.I. Joe, I wasn't, like, had low expectations for it. And I actually came out really pleasantly surprised, because I honestly thought that I actually had more enjoyment from this movie than those other three movies combined. And I think the reason for that, again, like 2012, it's a movie that knows exactly what it is, and it doesn't make any apologies for it, and it's really over the top in terms of, like, action and story and all that. And it's just fun. Like, that's all it is. Like, it's just a lot of fun, and does, like I said, makes no apologies for it.
It's just a fun, stupid movie. Like,
exactly.
Who cares? People were saying just like how bad it is. And it's like, yeah, but you're taking it seriously. You're not supposed to take this movie seriously. It's supposed to be dumb. Hello.
I agree with that. And I think a lot of people were just really down about this because like Transformers 2 came out and a lot of people
that was shit.
Really... I didn't, like I said, I didn't think it was bad as people made it out to be. Again,
it was.
I thought that was a disappointment compared to the awesome first one.
The first one is awesome. The second one took a shit in my mouth.
Anyways, and I think because like people were sort of going on this whole rant thing, it's like, you know, like because of that movie, they had projected all their anger onto this movie. And I think if this movie came out before Transformers 2, I don't think it would have got as much hate from a lot of people as it would have. But that's just my personal opinion anyway. Because it's a lot more fun. It's like a lot more fun.
Yeah, I had fun with this movie.
Yeah.
And it's got that, what's her name? Rachel Nichols, who's really hot. But Sienna Miller, fuck, I'd take a shit in her mouth. I hate her. Sorry, now everyone's shut up.
As long as it's not dick milk. Can't take a shit on that.
I thought she did well as the Baroness. She was hot. She did her job.
Yuck, I hate her. Sorry. She just like completely like the. She was the weak link in this movie. Couldn't stand her. I can't stand her. Yuck.
Wow.
That's why I would take a shit on her.
I think I think another reason why I like G.I. Joe was that it's well paced. Like,
yeah, it is,
you don't
actually.
Think about it when you're like, you know, it's a dumb. You don't really. It doesn't give you enough time to actually think and analyze the plot.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. What's good about Stephen Sommers directed it. He's done this with a lot of his movies. He knows how to do good pacing in the movie, in all of his movies.
Yeah, I don't mind his movies, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah,
I think he sucks balls.
They're just fun for me.
Mummies, Van Helsing's, Van, go fuck yourself.
The Mummy rocked. The Mummy rocked. And Deep Rise kicked ass.
Van Helsing, not so much.
I guess Van
Helsing was one of those. Van Helsing was another dumb one that, I don't know. If you enjoy seeing Hugh Jackman as, well, trying to do an adequate job as a vampire hunter, then go for it.
Well, Kate Beckinsale was pretty hot.
I kind of complain with that.
Although, if you want to see Kate Beckinsale looking hot, just watch Underworld. Grrr.
You go. Both of them. Oh, the first
black leather.
Into those pants.
It took a lot of work. Wow. And she's better out of them. Okay. Now this is getting too sleepy. I'm sorry.
Yes, just a little bit. Someone else, give us a movie.
For mine, I know that a lot of people are going to be, you know, annoyed at this and angry at this. But it's Jason Goes to Hell. Now, I know that the film was early mid-90s, the horror scene was kind of dead before Scream kind of jump-started everything back up. But, I mean, for the film, if you don't look at it as a Friday the 13th film, it's an all right film. The other thing is that get the DVD and listen to the commentary with director Adam Marcus and, I can't remember what the other guy's name is, Dean Lorre, who wrote the script. It's a Mystery Science Theater 3000 commentary, basically. These guys, you know, they laugh at the film. They just like, we're so low on boobs right now or whatever like that. And of course, the director's cut, I mean, it's like, it's so off the wall, the amount of stuff that they do. I mean, like, I don't know, like Jason possessed Jason, pops the guy's head like a zit almost. it's stuff like that. And it's so much, it's fun that way. And I mean, I know it's kind of not really what a lot of people thought it was going to be. And yes, it ripped off The Hidden and Night of the Creeps. Even though Adam Marcus and Dean Lorre said that they like Night of the Creeps, I don't know what this film is like. It was like, it's fun.
It's
and,
a fun flick.
Oh yeah, and you had like Robert Culp, the son Stephen Culp, playing the film, and then of course you had John DeLemay, who starred in Friday the 13th, the series, which was on TV. And then, of course, you had, like, Kane Hodder playing a security guard who gets killed by Jason. So it's Jason killing Jason. And so you divide by zero, and the whole universe collapses. Or something like that.
Hence, and then you get Jason.
Yes, and of course, it sets up for Freddy versus Jason. But we all know what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't really say too much, because I haven't seen it in years.
In ages,
I do remember
yeah.
certain things. Like certain scenes, like against the tent kill, which is very, which was very memorable, and
oh, yeah.
also the Necronomicon,
both memorable,
and also yeah, and also that the fact that you can see the Necronomicon in Jason's mom in the in
yes.
Jason's sister's basement.
Yes,
that was
that's awesome.
And of course, the final shot,
oh, yeah.
which is
that is yeah. fantastic.
Yeah,
which Kane Hodder also played.
Yeah, I was going to mention Kane Hodder was. Jason, I was going to say Freddy, that's the wrong dude.
You know, I was an inch away from Kane Hodder less than 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Really yeah. yeah, I went to a dork convention.
I love dork conventions. I'm going to one soon.
Should have came to one I had. It was Night of the Creeps reunion. Met Tom Atkins for the first time.
Damn.
Highlight of my life. Awesome. Yeah, he was incredible.
Damn.
Yeah, that was, I'm getting sidetracked by saying that, but it's totally worth it. Great man.
Well, speaking
oh, yeah.
of that, what do you have a third pick?
I do, and I'm interested to hear what you think, because a lot of people do hate it, but one of my all-time favorite films, Unbreakable.
I love Unbreakable.
So do I.
I don't know anyone who doesn't like that movie.
I know a lot of people that hate it.
Maybe when it came out, people were like, I told them, I'm like, I love this movie. You have to see it. Like, what are you talking about? It was nothing compared to The Sixth Sense. And I guess that's why maybe I feel that it didn't get that much love, because it was right after Sixth Sense for M. Night.
Yeah.
But love that movie.
I love that movie too. And it's almost like,
as well.
It's almost like he could be like Superman without realizing who he is. That's what it is. And it's
what
awesome.
What kills me is I know M. Night had it planned out as a trilogy, but I guess it didn't make enough money at the box office and just got shut down forever.
Mm.
Yeah.
He had a lot of things planned out for it. And I just love to know what, because love the characters, loved everything about that movie.
Yeah.
Well, that movie was kind of ahead.
I heard rumblings of Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis kind of collaborating on the sequel, but I just heard rumblings on like various things.
Yeah, it just will never happen. It's too late. Too late.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
in a way,
his films kind of went downhill, didn't they?
Yeah, just a little. He'll be back now. Last Airbender will come back on top.
I hope so. That looks pretty fun.
Yeah. Got a built-in audience. He's fine with that, but you know, it's not an original movie.
Yeah, hopefully he just leaves out a twist ending, eh?
They're all dead.
No!
I think, to me, Unbreakable, for me, was a film, you could say it was kind of a film that was ahead of its time, if you think about it.
Yes.
Because it did, before there was like the revitalization of comic book movies, because I think that, you could say, because X-Men came out, I guess, probably before or after, and then...
I think it was after.
I think
after. Later.
I think it was after, yeah. I think it was after, and...
That was a 2000 movie. I think X-Men was 2001.
No, X-Men was 2000, because I remember seeing it.
What was Unbreakable was 2000.
Yeah. Oh. Unbreakable was 2000 also.
Okay. Well,
X-Men came first.
Okay.
Yeah. And X-Men came out, it sort of, like, became awesome enough that we'd had so many comic book movies after that,
right.
But... Unbreakable, which was more of an original comic book movie, like it wasn't based on anything like that, and yeah, it was kind of ahead of the curve. Even if you look, it was ahead of the curve because it's more like a deconstruction of the comic book superheroes. Like ones we see these days, like you know, with Watchmen and with Kick-Ass coming up, and a couple of others that it's along that's in the same kind of vein. And to me, Unbreakable, I think, is probably the most realistic of all of them because. It feels like this could actually happen. Like there could be some guy in the world who's literally indestructible. And that's what I really loved about the film as well. And like it's Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson were amazing. And
And it's got a lot of emotion in it.
Sorry.
So I was gonna say it's very emotional. It's got a lot of heart in it.
I loved it. The scene at the end where Bruce Willis is like grappling on top of the Orange Man. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm.
And he keeps bashing into the wall, bashing and bashing him. But Bruce Willis doesn't let go because the bashing doesn't faze him. Yeah, I almost started crying when I saw that for the first time in the theater because it was so just awesome and powerful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was definitely I was going to say, it was definitely like having seen The Sixth Sense and seeing what he was going to come up with next was the appeal of going to see this movie, but
correct.
Just had no idea what we're in for. And I remember I saw it with my dad, and my dad is like obsessed with Bruce Willis, and he was just blown away by this movie as well. It was just something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, B, you can talk.
Okay, sorry. I was going to say, like you were saying, Mike, about you got emotional during that scene. One scene I got really, because I rewatched the film again last year, and one scene I got really emotional was actually the ending. And I don't want to spoil, like, it does have a twist ending, but when you find out why everything is happening, when one character explains to another character why everything is happening.
I know what you're talking about.
I actually felt, yeah, that scene actually was
bad for the character explaining.
Yeah, well, not really bad. It was just how he conveyed
logical, feasible, believable reasoning, albeit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
I know, because I recite that line to a friend at work almost on a daily basis. It's a weird, whole last you're talking about.
Yeah.
Continue.
And I think, another reason why I think the movie didn't do as well, it's coming off The Sixth Sense, and that movie was amazing too, but I think this one is also very slow paced.
Yep.
It's much more slow, has a much more slower pace than The Sixth Sense, and I think that's probably what kind of annoyed a lot of people, because it was more of a slow burn kind of thriller than The Sixth Sense was.
Yeah, and people just can't handle slow movies because they're retarded. So, man.
No matter how intriguing.
No, anymore.
Yeah, sorry. With a delay, we all end up talking at the same time.
All good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think, have we said everything we want to say about this movie?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
Called me Mr. Glad.
You just ruined the ending. Now.
Oh, they have no clue what I'm
talking
about.
Spoiler warning.
They have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right. I'll go with...
A lot of people have seen it by now, so...
Yeah, probably.
It would... Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Fuck yeah, because you don't... Forget it. No, you don't get to enjoy it. Fuck you.
Exactly. Fuck you.
You're 10 years too late.
Exactly.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, I'll state my pick, and, I decided I was going to just go with Death Proof because everyone seems to hate it and
love beginning and ending.
I don't know. I mean, like,
yes.
Go, Pat.
Don't tell me we've lost Pat.
I don't know. I mean,
oh, there he is.
Well, I haven't seen it, but from what I've understood, it's just a bunch of chicks just talking to the entire
cast.
There is that, but then there's Kurt Russell. Hello.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
The problem is, with all the kids are talking, there's no Kurt Russell.
Yeah. I mean, when he's not on screen, I miss him, but then again, I have, like, a really weird Kurt Russell obsession.
Call me Snake.
Oh, please, don't do that to
me. Does that include the beard?
Oh, yeah.
That includes the beard.
The beard in the thing.
From the thing.
That's, like, the best movie beard ever.
And in Tombstone, he has the best mustache.
He has the best mustache of all time in Tombstone.
Rival Jimmy O's from Arrowhead.
Well, didn't he shave it off not long ago?
Yes, he did, and I'm just kind of annoyed at that. But whatever. I've got my goatee going, so one of these days when I update my Facebook page with my ugly face, you'll see.
But back to the movie.
Anyways.
Kurt Russell, awesome, and it's Tarantino doing Tarantino stuff. And
that's part of the problem, actually.
Well,
part of the good thing, part of the problem.
Well, that's why I liked it. And I mean, it's not like the chicks aren't hot, because the chicks are hot. And sure. I mean, I just sat back and enjoyed everything, and I really liked it. And I think that, like, especially the end, I mean, the end is awesome, and Zoe Bell is fucking just amazing. Yeah, I mean, at least there's that to enjoy if you don't like the rest of it.
You don't need the middle. You watch the awesome beginning, and then right after they get out, right after they get in the charger at the end, you watch from there on.
Yeah, I mean...
It should be a 45-minute film.
If you don't want to listen to the talking, just fast forward.
Cut out an hour and 10 minutes.
Or I guess, I mean, I haven't watched it yet, but I haven't seen the Grindhouse cut of it. I've only got the... I mean, I've only seen the extended version of it. So I don't know how much is cut from, like, the talking and stuff in the... the grindhouse too much.
That diner scene is still in there.
It's, you know what's funny is that actually it's really the last half of that movie is actually the longest of compared to the first half of the movie.
Mm.
And the scene that was in the extended cut, but not that that isn't in the theatrical cut, yeah. And that's the lap dance scene.
Yeah, and that's like one of the best scenes, eh?
Yeah, but it has the most awesome like because cut. And it has like you have the scene like let's do that lap dance, and then all of a sudden this big screen comes. Sorry, but real missing.
That was very funny.
Yeah, but the actual, I mean, the lap dance scene itself is pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't like that chick's face. Not, I guess, that should matter, but it looks like she had her nose bit off and then they tried to, like, use Play-Doh to get it back on.
I wasn't so much looking at her face.
That's a beautiful way of putting that.
I say I want the whole package.
I don't know, I kind of wanted to be doing that to Kurt Russell, but then again, I'm a sick puppy.
You'd be great at it.
I probably wouldn't want to go home with him in his car.
Rose, awesome scene.
Yeah.
That scene's got one of my favorite lines of all time in that scene.
What is it?
And that's like
one.
That's the the one where I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head. It's a pair. Come back to me in a sec. I've got to find it. It's like, you know, oh yeah, now Pam, you know why this car is death-proof?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. And it's
you're over there.
Yeah, it's like.
it's 100% death-proof, but not where you're sitting or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, you know why this car is 100% death-proof? And the only way to get the benefit of it is, you need to be sitting where I'm sitting, and then bam!
That's it. And you just heard, like, the worst two Kurt Russell impressions of all time.
True, but, you know, Australian it's Kurt Russell.
Australian female Kurt Russell from me. I'm not saying you're a girl, B.
Hey, Cam! Remember when I said this car was death-proof? Well, that wasn't a lie. This car is 100% death-proof. Only to get the benefit of it, honey, you really need to be sitting in my seat.
Okay, so I think we've said everything we have to say about Death Proof, unless anybody else has any other comments. No? Okay, cool. I think that wraps up our podcast, as we've discussed, I think, three movies each? And 3 times 4 is 12?
Yeah.
I can do maths, right? I hope
good
so.
Job.
And I guess we'll see if we get any feedback, if anyone actually agrees or disagrees with our choices. We certainly agreed with some of our choices and disagreed with others, so there's always room for discussion on movies in general, but certain films always get more attention than others, I guess.
I don't know, do we plug Arrow in the head or not?
Oh, I think, you might as well just give yourselves a bit of a plug. Go to Arrow in the Head and read Pat and Mike's DVD reviews, because they're awesome.
Yeah, it's Mike first, then Pat. Because Mike's probably better at that than I am. Because I just, yeah.
Well, Pat's been doing it a bit longer.
Right. I mean, like, I'm the only one who's like, yeah, I said Halloween 2 was, yeah.
Not at all.
But, yeah, go read their stuff.
Review, which I did read.
I'll be sure to post links to your
better than
reviews.
Better than Andre's review. It just looks like it sucks like ass.
Exactly.
Well, I'll have a review up of Halloween 2 at some stage, and I'm not sure what I'm going to say about it yet. But
horses. That's all you have to say, horses.
I'll say Rob Zombie took a shit on my face.
Well, that too.
Sorry, that seems to be the theme, people taking shits on each other.
Well, sharing the love, man.
There's good money in that.
Anyway. anyway, that's a wrap, and hopefully you guys have had fun and you'll all come back someday to join me again.
Most definitely.
Awesome. Okay, well, I've been awesome and everyone else has been pretty awesome, except for Bede, who's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still wanted somewhere.
In 12 system.
Yeah.
You have the death sentence on 12 systems.
For very reason.
Anyway,
he doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
Like you.
Okay, anyway.
Don't kill me, though.
Anyway. Oh, wrapping up the show is always the most fun part because it takes like 10 minutes. Anyway, as I said, we've all been awesome, but especially me, and we'll see you next time.
See you, everyone.
That's all, folks.
And I'll be back.